No, it's not open.
Yeah, I said the same thing.
We all thought that they had the same thing, but it's actually not open.
Now I'm not bothered. I said it. I'm okay.
We're celebrating the Fast of Tammuz, and it's illustrative each year to talk about why the temple was destroyed, and it breached and then destroyed, and it happened, you know, way back in the first temple, and then it happened again with Herod's temple. But these are the reasons, and I want you to think about this with regard to your individual life, and think about it with regard to what's going on in the world and in religion. The wall was breached on the Fast of Tammuz, or the 17th of the month of Tammuz. And 21 days later, the temple was totally destroyed. And it happened in the same day, the first temple, and the same day, the second temple. The odds of that taking place like that are like 10 to the 600th power. I mean, the odds of those two events happening in the same way, so the rabbis and gave it huge distinction in terms of its meaning. And the interesting thing about the rabbis, the ones that I respect and the ones that I believe saw his day, is they know that that Jerusalem that is there physically is only a parable for your mind. And so, again, remember, every single time in the past, when there's a hole in your wall, i.e. something's troubling you, you can't figure something out, the whole idea, you always temper it with untempered mortar so that you don't. But this is a time that forces us not to put mortar on that break in the wall or that hole, but to dig. And when you dig a little bit, you find the door. And that door is Jesus Christ. But it shows the entrance into your mind of everything you're doing. And that's why we're studying this meaning of words. Because the words were useful once. All the high place activity was useful once. But once the temple is dedicated, they have no more use. Cause and effect has no more use. Really, language has no more use in the context of this mystery of Christ in you, the only hope of glory, and his automatic being the way, the truth, and the life. And the predicate, obviously, is we've accepted our death, and now this usurper and his minions are up here still causing us to take stands, to worship, to give the worship the God of this world and all these other things. So that's why this period of time is so important.
That moment when you find that hole, the instinct of man is to get some more mortar
and fix it.
Turn away from it, run, whatever. That's what you
right.
want to do.
Sure. That's why in every horror movie that's ever been, don't go down those stairs. And so, anyway. These are the reasons that, first of all, they said that the vision, which was Daniel's vision, you remember that everything is finished? They said the vision is for many days in the future. Second reason was that wise men contended with fools. Third is wise men corrected scorners. Fourth was the same thing happens to Israel as happens to everybody else. You know, you just feel like you're just a pebble in the ocean you're just the same as everything. They gave what is holy to dogs. And probably the most important one, they did not endure chastisement. So these are the reasons that the temple that was standing, which was a figure of that it was destroyed, but you have to see it as it's what your mind does. Your mind does all these things hardwired. Everybody understand a little bit? And let's look at this, what they said was for many days hence. Let's go to Daniel 9. Verse 20. We've studied this so many times, but it's crucial. This is why some of the apostate rabbis and consuls in past years and wanted to not include the book of Daniel. But listen, he's just been confessing his own sins and confessing the sins of his people. Verse 20. And while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel. Oh, I should have just read that. And presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God. Yea, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening sacrifice. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplication, you got to hear this. I've said it over and over. Not at the beginning of his prayer, but the beginning of his supplication. When he said, God, I am yours without exception. There's no part of me that I'm going to continue to try to fix or do anything about. There's nothing except me waiting on you. At the beginning of thy supplication.
That's accepting your death, right?
Amen. Remember the way I described supplication was putting your head in the mouth of a lion. What happens is no longer your business. At the beginning of verse 21, I got confused. Yea, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplication, the commandment came forth, and I came to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore, consider the matter and consider the vision. Now, you are in no different place than Daniel is. Once the supplication is complete, then by definition, you are greatly beloved because it's only Christ in you that's alive then. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city. I mean, just listen to the completeness of this. To finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal the vision and the prophecy, and to anoint the Most Holy. The Most Holy. Now those 70 weeks came, it says it. In verse 25, know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah. Now, that's I'm not going to bore you with all of it, but if you sit down and calculate when that commandment came and the crucifixion of Christ, it is exactly 70 weeks. 70 weeks of years is exactly 490 years. Now that's what all the major people had had an understanding. That's why they all came back at the year that Christ was crucified. For it was the ones that were spiritual came back for that. But the ones that were just wanting the goodies came back because was a Jubilee year, and that's when they got all their lands back. That's why the disciples gave their lands, because it was the lands they just got back, and they thought the end was here, or coming very, very soon. So they sold what they had just gotten back and laid it at the apostles' feet. And that was used to feed this horde of people who became believers, because they had to stay there from the time of the Passover to Yom Kippur, because in Yom Kippur is when all the lands and deeds were given back. So everybody got that picture. You know why the temple was destroyed. Now, that same thing, your Jerusalem that now is, has to be gone. This is Tammuz 101 that we're talking about this morning. What? All right. Now, let's go.
So, from this point when this was spoken, if you went back 490 weeks,
it's 70 years, but it's weeks of years. So it's 490 years.
So from this point, 490 years back was when the crucifixion took place.
No, 490 weeks forward from the time the commandment came forth.
All right.
Okay. Exactly.
Now, what time did the commandment come forth?
Or give me the exact time. Go back to my trusty little thingy here. But it's my little chart here that everybody makes fun of. Somebody whistle or something while I'm finding this. See, if I were prepared. Does anybody have any questions about Tammuz? AD 70 AD.
We don't find it, we can get later.
I think it was 458 BC, but I'm not sure.
Well, that'd be close.
Anyway. I think it would be exact, but now, remember we studied yesterday all this stuff about how language developed and what names are, and names aren't anything real. The name becomes the graven image, especially when you put the name, you put a series of names in what's called a sentence, and you become so. It's pointed over and over. Your parents sat and taught you cup. They pointed at the cup, and they did it over and over and over again. Then they pointed at a spoon. This is a spoon. That's how you learned. But it's all sensory. It has nothing to do with spirit. But you had to do that in order that there could be a society, in order that you could live long enough to come to the end of yourself. What?
Well, I'm thinking all we're talking about is, as opposed to the name of Jesus, which is a completely different thing. It's no greater images, no future, no past, just the moment, eternity, not locked into.
Right, you're out of time.
Visuals, you're out of time. So, yeah, this whole naming is a universe away from.
Amen. But yet that's all, if you look, that's all religion has become. It's a series of names put into a sentence, and it's become locked in stone, and it has all these ridiculous things like churches as house of gods, as buildings. Pulpit, which means a pulpit is a Latin word for a stage.
And the ultimate goal of that, which is the goal of the Antichrist, is to fake it.
All right.
And make you think you're righteous, holy, whatever before God, and then you'll kill anybody who comes against that most righteous pillar.
Right, and you have all. Then you start believing that what your mind is telling you is what God is telling you. So you have all these obscenely ridiculous things that are there so that you can see what you do. So that Copeland says, when I read that Jesus said, I am, I sit back and smile and say, I am too. Or God is telling me, and God has told me that I am to get or to buy a $20 million Citation 10. Or, God has just revealed that there are 12 people in the audience or on the listening that are going to give us $100,000 and you will be blessed 100-fold. On and out. Yeah. All of that. But that's what we do. God raised up these idiots on television so we can see ourselves without the cross. That's their purpose.
That's their holy calling.
Yeah. Now you got to understand something. When normally we speak about 180 words a minute or something like that, 130. Your thought process is about 300 or more words a minute, sometimes up to 500 words a minute. And all your thoughts you learn by the same thing that you learned as a child. You've learned to connect words and make sentences in your mind. And what happens is all that becomes the graven image inside your mind that keeps you from the fullness of Christ. Now the words, again, you couldn't have existed without them. We couldn't have a society. We couldn't have gotten here. But once you, as the temple of the living God, are fully dedicated, you're not just coming to get something. You're fully dedicated because you have been in supplication. Then all that becomes just an instrument, but you don't give none of it any breath anymore. Who cares? A name isn't anything mysterious. It's just what a whole bunch of people agreed to call something. But do you understand the intensity and the number of graven images? And so hot in your mind. So that's why it's so stupid to take a stand about anything, to say anything is right or wrong or this or that, because it's just deception. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Now, do you know, by the way, if you put a detector on your vocal cord that showed at what it's doing, and you're sitting there thinking, it's your vocal cords move in the same because you're forming speech, but it's silent speech. That's why the scriptures say, go to 1 John 4:1.
Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God.
Okay, stop there a minute. Believe not every spirit. Now, you got to understand that your thoughts or words even are not corporeal. They're spirit. You understand that? Believe not every spirit, but test the spirits to see if they're of God. For many false prophets, all these up here, have come into the world. And hereby you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that he is come in the flesh is not of God. That just doesn't mean talking about what he did. It means that if you confess that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, then you must see everything as perfect. You must see that you've been perfected forever by one offering. You must see that you're at the first source of all things. You must see that it's over. So if you confess that this is a good idea that I'm going to get to improve this or that, that's crap. It's nothing. Because you're not confessing that he is come in the flesh. You see that? Can you see the importance of that? I promise you, your mind talk and all these stupid images will stop if you can simply understand that. Because then the temple is fully dedicated. Then you abandon. He is revealed in your emptiness and your no words. You don't sit there and muse, well, you can't get there. You're trying to use all this crap that is cursed to gain that which is blessed. It can't happen. And all those words and images and ideas of right and wrong and what you should and shouldn't be and what you want or don't want, those are all the things that are destroyed when your Jerusalem that now is falls without a stone standing on it.
Well, let me clarify something for me. When we started, we said that these words are not spirit. But then you're just
what?
Talking, when you first start talking about words, that they are not spirit.
I didn't say that.
You said it's nothing mysterious.
I said the word, there's nothing mysterious.
I thought you said that the words themselves were not spirit. They were just words we used to conspire with each other.
Well, I'm saying spirit in the context that it's incorporeal. There's no body to it.
Yeah. And I'm not opposing what you said. I'm just kind of clarifying some stuff here.
Okay.
Because every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come, that's different than this corporal agreement or whatever.
Yeah, because you're saying when you confess that he is come in the flesh, you've just abolished your Jerusalem that now
exactly.
is.
It's denied all the
It's as if you never existed.
Right. And so that transfers whatever that makes real spirit.
Yeah.
And so
that confesses the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit only reveals him.
And that's only in the moment of existence.
Right. There's no past and there's no future.
Because all these other things require time to work with. It's
right.
Work
with them. Amen?
Amen.
Now, Jesus looked over Jerusalem and he looked over the people of Israel. And he had compassion. Now, compassion is the ability to empathize and suffer with. Now, that's why, unless you suffer with him, you will never reign with him. Unless, if you can dismiss If you can rationalize in your mind, in order that you can dismiss a people or even an animal or anything, if you can confess, if you if you can rationalize your killing or your ignoring or your, then you have no compassion. Is that, you understand? And compassion is the ability or the gift of God that He gives us through suffering, so that we can comfort, because we feel their suffering, we can comfort another that is going through it. The Bible study I taught last night, there was a woman that has just suffered terribly her whole life. And I said some words because I felt what she had been going through, because I had gone through it all. And she, her face just lit up, like, because it gave, finally she had a meaning to her suffering. And so when these guys say God wants everybody healed, and if you're not, Benny said, one day I'm going to pray and everybody in the audience and everybody that's listening is going to be healed instantly. Well, he's just saying what we want. But the point of that is that without that suffering, you can't have compassion. Without compassion, you can't be joined together and knit together in this mystery of a tribe. Amen? So that's why during a fast period, you shouldn't isolate yourself. A fast causes you to be irritable about everything, but it the only reason it does is because it reveals the things you were irritated with before. You just can't, you lose the capacity to stuff it, to cope. If you're fasting, that's why fasting is so important. But fasting is meaningless unless there's confessing our faults one to another. That's okay. That's enough for Tammuz, remedial Tammuz. Everybody understand a little bit? One more time. And this is what we do. We say the vision was for many days hence. And what does that mean? It means we still have time to do something. Wise men contend with fools. I don't do that very well. I don't say I'm wise, but I certainly don't suffer fools gladly. Wise men correct as scorners. You can't correct anybody. Except unless they're in the brethren, you know, where you. And the same thing befalls his people as befalls everybody else. In other words, we're just, you know, he's not going to do good, neither is he going to do evil. It's just, we're just sort of here floating around. They gave what is holy to dogs, and they did not endure chastisement. That's the kicker. Chastisement produces suffering. Suffering produces compassion. Anybody else? Anybody have any thoughts or questions? Response?
Making sense. Approaching it.
Amen. Okay? Alrighty. Take it, big guy. Hopefully we'll get back to 2 Timothy.
Never.
Soon. Thank you, Lord, for this temperature. No, I didn't turn this off.